Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace. Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi.
There we go. There we go. Hi. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Risdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Making. Today makes sense. Good as always to have you along for the ride. Because honestly, we never know where it's going to go.
Could go anywhere. I'm Molly Wood. It is What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, the day that can especially go anywhere because we get to take a deep dive into your strange brains, friends and listeners, and the things that you are interested in and want us to Google for you.
and we should just say we have previewed some of these questions and our response was, huh.
Yeah.
So there we go.
We got no spoilers, but we got some tax nerds in this audience, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. It's going to be good. Right. If you have a question you would like us to answer, please send it to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Leave us a voicemail at our phone number, 508-827-6278, also known as 508-UB-SMART. Let's get to it.
All right, Juan Carlos, hit it. Let's do it.
Hey, kind Molly. This is Alex from Covington, Kentucky. Walking my dog in the morning, only free time I get. Anyway, now that Pfizer has full FDA approval, I'm curious to know about the some of the other lesser-known vaccines that companies are working on. I think I'd heard one previously about a pill and maybe even a nasal spray. Curious to where those are. I hope you guys can make me smart.
Those are some crickets and cicadas, huh?
I know! I just like...
That was just...
so. There was so much good good background
no
sound
joke.
Going on there.
Little gravelly
Alex, I understand,
trail.
By the way, the thing.
Go ahead. No,
yeah,
go
was
ahead.
It a trail? Well, I totally understand
yeah,
that
I
thing
don't
know. About who, your dog walk being your only free time.
That's right. But also, who amongst us as a radio reporter has not pointed the microphone down and walked on a gravel trail to set a scene for a story? Could I just say? Could I just, you know,
it's true.
Just
it's really true. Secrets of the trade.
Yes.
Right there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I think in this answer, first of all, thank you, Marissa Cabrera and Gretchen Rubin. We need to differentiate between vaccines and treatments. Right, Grace. I'm sorry,
yes.
Not Gretchen. Gretchen, somebody else. Grace. Differentiate between vaccines and treatments. Right. So there are a bunch of vaccine trials underway. Seven of them, we are told, are for intranasal vaccines. You spritz it up your nose. There's a flu shot that'll do that to you. And also, there are some pills in the works for treatment. New York Times reported the other day that researchers are looking at a pill to treat COVID-19 once you get it. So there's a lot going on pharmacologically about this.
And they're considering even potentially down the road vaccine pills in addition to treatment pills. There is a lot going on. We should say that a lot of that is still in trials. Did you already say there are about 100? It
Give
looks like
take,
World
yeah.
Health Organization says 93 vaccine trials are underway. Only two of them are for tablets. Seven are for nasal sprays. But as time goes on, you can imagine that there will be more and more.
Many, many more.
And that 93 will turn into like two or three more. There's obviously a lot of money at stake because this disease is not going away anytime soon. So,
for sure.
Good question. The answer is lots.
Yeah.
Let's go to our next question. This comes from Kira, the tax nerd in Indiana, which I love. She says, I've noticed that tax is not usually included on the price tags at the grocery store, but it is included in the price of tobacco and gasoline. Why is that?
It's a great question.
Well,
it's a great question.
It depends. I know, exactly. And we should say it's probably not included on the price tags at the grocery store in Indiana. It might be on other taxes. Evidently, it's because of the type of tax. Sales tax usually isn't included in price tags because it can vary so widely by state and county, because sales taxes come from state and local governments, and also they can change a lot. So your point of your point of sale system, your POS, which never gets old, doesn't need to necessarily be updated every time you have to print a new tax. There are five states in the U.S. that don't levy any sales tax: Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon. Tobacco and gasoline have this excise tax, which I guess is specific and doesn't change so often. So that probably is why it shows up. And then at least I think in California, I mean, there are also states that don't have sales tax on food items.
Right, right.
Which is probably also why... I don't know if that's the case in Indiana, but that's the case here, right?
Yep, absolutely is. Absolutely is. No taxes on
food. Which is probably also why they don't show up on the grocery store receipts specifically.
Right.
Because that would be, not to geek out, but that is taxes, sales tax on food items is the very definition of a regressive tax. Like it's a tax that everybody would have to pay equally, even if they don't make equal amounts of money.
Right, right.
That's all. That's like literally the sum total.
There are PhD theses written on tax policy.
That's the sum total of my tax nerd knowledge.
You can go on forever. But it depends on what kind of tax we're talking about. What kind of tax we're talking about.
And where. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Businesses requiring proof of vaccination. This is actually a really interesting one, especially with the news today, which is Wednesday, the Delta Airlines. So United Airlines has already required vaccines for all its employees. Delta Airlines came out today. Ed Bastian, the CEO, did. We covered this real briefly on Marketplace. He said, hey, get vaccinated. And if you don't, you have to pay $200 extra a month to be on our health plan. Ed Bastian is not screwing around.
No.
Anyway. So,
and I think that story is so interesting and a harbinger of what's to come.
Oh, without no question about it. So with that, let's hit the tape.
Hi, Kai and Molly. This is Lila from Kansas City. I'm calling in because I was hoping you can make me smart on this question I have. How are businesses checking proof of vaccination when fake vaccination cards are being sold and thankfully seized? What if somebody loses their card? How do people get their card replaced when somebody loses their card? Thanks. Love the show. And please stay safe and healthy.
Aww. You too.
You too.
You too.
You too, Layla.
Yeah, totally you too. Wear a mask, wash your hands.
Have you seen, this whole conversation, I'm going to interrupt and say this whole conversation just makes me think of every single time I see a tweet or comment about this one thing, it blows my mind, which is like, it's so absolutely America that we've issued vaccine cards that don't fit in a wallet. They're not the size of someone's wallet. That's just like, that is emblematic of our entire response to the pandemic. It's just like the perfect... Yeah. Little microcosm of our entire response to the pandemic, which is like, what?
Yeah.
It's not wallet sized for real.
Yeah. Totally. That is very, very true. So here's the deal. First of all, you can go back and listen to the episode that Kimberly and Euler did while Molly and I were out with Sato from the MIT Tech Review about this. But a lot like the tax answer, there's a lot of variation depending on where you are. Mostly, though, businesses will accept CDC vaccination cards. Yes, even the forged ones. I'm not quite sure what to do about that. If you live in a state like California that has a vaccine app, which is super easy to use, I got mine and my two minor children's on my phone, should we need it, and they have theirs on their phone so they can show it at school. Here's the deal with San Francisco, right? San Francisco is requiring proof of vaccination at restaurants and bars and gyms and concerts. They will take in that city a CDC paper card, a picture of the CDC card, one of those digital vaccine credentials from the state that I talked about, or also proof of vaccination from foreign governments. So they're bending over backwards. And yes, there's a whole lot of, you know, scouts honor here on this one, but at least they're trying. At least they're working on it.
Yeah. I think the digital vaccine records are probably going to be the key. It would be amazing if there were, for example, some sort of standardized app that came from the federal government or something along those lines. There are, of course, the privacy, you know, concerns that potentially go along with that. But digital vaccine cards are probably going to be the most useful. And at some point, yes, there is absolutely a little bit of a leap of faith situation here. You have to...
Yes.
Hope that people aren't faking it too much.
Totally. I'm just checking mine with my kids here. Yeah, and it's got a little QR code on it. It's got what the make, what the manufacturer, who the manufacturer was, date of first shot, date of second shot, and then a QR code. Mm-hmm. So it works.
See, that's
really
why
well.
I think the QR code or the digital versions are key, because you can have a QR code. Somebody could easily scan that code and right. just get a sum check, right? Yes or no. Is this a real thing or not a real
right.
thing? Yep.
Right. That's exactly yeah. it. And that's that's the deal, right? It's got to be fast, because if you are going to require it for concerts and you're screening 15,000 people to get into some arena, it has to be literally like 5 seconds. And even then there's a line, mm-hmm. but still, you know, it's got to be yes, no. And then you take all the no's and you let the police or whoever, sheriff or health officials deal with them. But yeah, yep. that's the way it's got to be, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And finally, a question about Christmas for Kai Week.
Feds.
The countdown to the Fed speech. A question about the Fed's virtual meeting this week from Don in San Diego.
Why does the Fed hold its meetings in Jackson, Wyoming? I know it's a chic mountain town and all, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere and it's really of no significance to the banking industry other than that's where the Fed holds its meetings. So why did they choose that town?
Because everybody loves to get away. So
I know, it's a party, dude.
I know. It is not technically the Fed. It's not the Board of Governors in Washington that throws this symposium. It's the Kansas City Fed, the 10th Federal Reserve District, of which Jackson Hole is a part. And it wasn't always there, right? It was in Vail and Denver. They've done it actually in Kansas City. And then the story goes, and we got this from Business Insider. The story goes that they picked Jackson Hole because they really wanted Paul Volcker, who was then the chairman of the Fed, to go. Volcker was a huge fly fisherman, also a huge person, 6'8", but that's a different story. He loved to fly fish, and Jackson Hole is a good place to go fly fishing. And they said, hey, Paul, if we go to Jackson Hole, will you come? And Volcker, of course, said, of course I'll go. And ever since then, Fed chairs have gone and have given what are usually the most awaited speeches of the gathering because they're the Fed chair. And this year, par for the course, Jay Powell, his speech is going to be all about the taper and all about when the Fed's going to start pulling support from this economy. And I don't know if he fly fishes or not. He's a guitar player, actually, is the deal. Jay Powell is. But that's my spiel on Jackson Hole.
But yeah, if you're wondering if there's an economically significant reason.
No, it's all boondoggle, totally, man. You kidding me?
It's all, come on.
It's all boondoggle.
It's all boondoggle. Yep. I wonder, I do wonder, actually, there probably is a pretty big economic impact to Jackson Hole this year from them having to be
virtual. This year and last, right? For sure. Yeah.
And last.
Yeah. It's 2 years in a row they've lost
that. It's not a big town.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For sure.
Okay. That is it. It was just boom, 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 boom around boom. Here today. Keep sending the questions. We're at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Leave us a voicemail. Loving the voicemails. That's totally working. You can call us from the dog walk if you live, unlike I do, in a neighborhood that has cell phone service all over your area. I'm just really mad about this house I moved into. I love.
A little bitter?
Well, because my whole jam is walking the dog. I'm just so jealous of our first caller because walking the dog and talking to people on the phone is like a huge part of my routine.
So here's the thing you could do. Mm-hmm. Walk your dog and don't talk to anybody on the phone. That's what I do.
I don't have that kind of time. I got to
boom. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that is this podcast in one sentence for like the umpteenth time.
Our phone number, should you want to call us from your dog walk or otherwise. I'm just saying it's a major metropolitan area. Like, get it together, Bay Area. 508-827-6278, also known as 508-UB-SMART.
Oh, my goodness.
A master multitasker.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's the only way to survive.
Make Me Smart, this podcast, is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by Juan Carlos Dorado. Grace Rubin is our intern. I'm sorry, Grace, I blew it before.
Thank you for all the hard work on What Do You Want to Know Wednesday production team. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music, and our senior producer for today is Ms. Donna Tam.
Wow. Okay.
And there easy peasy.
Room done.
So great. I am laughing, but I'm actually getting our digital vaccine cards during this show.
Yeah, super easy. Super easy.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.